Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah Daf Lamed Daled, and we're going to begin on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah discusses the Arava. Arava Gzula, a stolen Arava, and the Mepharshim point out that Arava, given that it grows particularly wild in Eretz Yisrael and other places, people were sometimes not careful and they just picked Aravas. And the Paiskim say that when the Mishnah says Arava Gzula, it includes that if I take Arava that's Hefker, or just growing wild, but if there's an owner to that field and I don't get his express permission, then you're not allowed to use that Arava. In fact, I saw a very interesting Shaila from a great-great-grandfather of mine, the Max Avram. He asks that how could we buy different minim from Eretz Yisrael, from fields that are owned by Arabs? Ultimately, the Arabs stole everything in Eretz Yisrael from us thousands of years ago, but it's all originally our property, so it's gezula. So even if we paid an Arab farmer for the dollar minim that we buy, it's not his. It's he got it big zayla. Maybe he already inherited, but he got a big zayla. So the Max Avram asked this question, and he answers with an interesting chap. He says there's a klal nichalei le'inish to le'eved mitzvah b'moyne, that a person is comfortable that with his property a mitzvah should be done. So yes, this property belongs to the Jews. We don't know which specific Jew. We don't know which specific Shevet. But Klal Yisrael, we know, are happy when other Jews do a mitzvah. And that's why they're meichel, that whoever is using their dalan minim from a property that really belongs to me, I'm happy that somebody else should be doing a mitzvah. And that's why it's not called gezula. Rav Moshe Sternbuch in the Shailos of Tshuvos and Haggis also speaks about this Shaila. He takes a different approach. He says that although, as we learned in this perek, Yiyush accomplishes that it becomes the property of the gazlan, but even though it becomes the property of the gazlan, it's still considered that it's stolen. There's a step after Yiyush. The step after Yiyush is that the original owner's name is no longer associated with this stolen property. You know, if somebody steals an item, and even if the person who it's stolen for was Miyash, it's still considered the original owners. Sometimes nobody even realizes that this person was even the original owner. This property in Eretz Yisrael that's in the hands of the Arab farmers is already for many, many years in their hands. The Jew, it's past Yish. There's no Jew's name connected to this, and that's why it's not considered Gezula. V'yavesha, similarly, if the Arav is dried out, Psula. Shalashera, the Arava from the Nesheira, which is an Avodah Zarah, in Adachas Psula. Nikdam Roisha, if the top of the Arava was cut off. Nifritza Aleha, if the leaves, two pshatim, either the leaves are missing or the leaves are torn. Vatziftzifa, or the tziftzifa, we'll discuss in the Gemara what the tziftzifa exactly is, Psula. Kamusha, if the Arava is dry, but not completely withered, it's just somewhat dry, or shenishra mixes aleha, part of the leaves fell off, but not all of them, v'shalbal, bal is a field that doesn't require any watering. It grows by itself. The reason it's called the stay bal is so two pshatim. One reason is because, just like a married person is a bal, he's set. He, Baruch Hashem, has a wife. Here too, a field that doesn't need rain, doesn't need extra watering is set. Or shalbal means that it grows by itself without any specific attention. It's settled. Here too, it's ksheira. Tanabon. Arvi nachal. Hagdel ma nachal. The Torah describes the Arava as arvi nachal. So the arvi nachal should be something that grows by a river of water. Dava achar. Arve nachal, shalosh shalom meshuach kenachal. One of the characteristics of the Aravis is that the leaf is elongated. Tanya idach, arve nachal, only ele arve nachal shabal. Arve nachal, I would only think that what grows by the river, shabal v'shalharim, it grows from this field, that's not by river, or in the mountains, menayin, tavanam arve nachal mikol makam, all these Aravis are kosher. Abba Sholomer, Arve Shtaim. What I learned from the word Arve, that you need to take two Aravas. Achas Leluf, one is Daravas, one of the Dalaminim, V'achas LeMikdash. As we will learn later in the Masechta, every day in the Beis Hamikdash, they would circle around the Mizbeach with the Aravas, and that's what you need to take an Arava for that too. Rabbanan. The Rabbanan who use the word Arve to teach us the other Halachas, how will they notice Halacha of LeMikdash Menolahu? Says the Gemara, Hichas LeGemirla. They have it as a Halacha LeMoshe Mesinai. Ask Tosfos that according to Abishol, that we know that since the Torah used the word Arve, Lashon Rabim, wanted to teach us the Arava that's used in the Dalaminim, and wanted to teach us about the Arava that's used in going around the Mizbeach, ask Tosfos. So the Pasuk is not speaking about the Beis HaMikdash. The Pasuk is teaching us Arve, so we should have to use this Arava for going around even outside the Mikdash, according to Abishol. Tosfos doesn't answer the question. However, the Rosh, the Tosfos Rosh, answers that Abba Shaul will agree that that's what the Halacha LeMoshe Mesinai teaches us. That the Halacha LeMoshe Mesinai says that the Arava that's not for the Dalaminim is used exclusively in the Beis HaMikdash. Ask the Aruch Lener and the Tosfos Rosh, so if I'm relying on the Halacha LeMoshe Mesinai anyway, so why do I need a Pasuk? So the Aruch Lener says a very nice teretz. The Aruch Lener says, if I only had the Halacha LeMoshe Mesinai, I would think that you could use the same Arava for the Dalan Minim, and then use that exact same Arava to circle around the Mizbeach. The Torah, by using the word Arve, teaches us that we learn from Halacha LeMoshe Mesinai, take an Arava around the Mizbeach, but don't use the same Arava that you have in the Dalan Minim, use a separate Arava for that mitzvah. The next Tosfos speaks something a little more Halacha LeMaisa. He says, we've taken the word Arve and had different interpretations. So one interpretation says that Arve Nachal Mikom Mokim, that the Aravos don't have to come from the Nachal. But the other interpretations used Arve for different Lamudim. So Tosfos says, according to those Lamudim, the Aravos should have to come from a Nachal, from body of water. And Rashi is not as strong as Tosfos, but Rashi also says that it's a mitzvah to use aravos that grow next to water. However, the Rosh says, Le'ri'isi le'rabai say shenagu kain. I never saw that my teachers should be makbid on aravos that grow next to the water. But what is the Rosh going to do with Tosfos' raya? So the Rosh says that when the Torah speaks about Arve Nachal, he says, aravos are things of a plant that generally grow next to the water. That's what are called Arve Nachal. But the Torah doesn't mean to say that they have to grow next to the water. It's a description. Description is, you want to know what aravos are? They commonly grow next to the water. The halacha, the Mishnah Berurah says, is therefore you do not have to use aravos that grow next to the water. But the Mishnah Berurah says, lemitzvah min amufchor, it's preferable to get aravos that grow next to the water, based on what Tosfos and Rashi teach us. Says the Gemara, since we mentioned the Halacha LeMoshe Mesinai, Dom Rav Asi, Om Rav Yochanan, Es Natias. The Halacha is like this. There's a Shemitah year. But there's a Halacha that 30 days before the Shemitah year, you're already not allowed to work the field. So there's one exception. That let's say you just planted a new tree, and it needs you to work on it, otherwise it won't survive the Shemitah year. Then you can work on it until Rosh Hashanah of the Shemitah year. So there's a formula. If you have 10 such trees in an area of 50 by 50 amma, you're allowed to plow that entire field. Arava, what we're discussing now, that they do the arava around the Mizbeach. V'nisach HaMayim, something, another concept that we'll speak about a lot in the Masechta, that they used to pour, besides pouring wine on the Mizbeach every day, during the Yontav of Sukkot, they used to pour water, are all Halach LeMoshe Mesinai. Tanar Abonon, Arve Nachal, Hagdela Al HaNachal. Prat LeTziftzefa, the Tziftzefa is not kosher for Aravis, and the Gemara will soon describe a Sifsifa, Hagdela Ben Aharim. It grows in the mountains, not by the water. Amrav Zeir Maikra. How do we see this from a Pasuk? So it says, because the Pasuk in Yecheskel says, Kach Almayim Rabim Tziftzefa Shema. That instead, the Navi is giving Musa to Klal Yisrael. Instead of taking the Arava that grows by the water, v'tziftzifu somu. They took the tziftzifu instead. Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, who says that that's the way to explain the pasuk? V'dilma, perhaps the way to explain the pasuk is perushi k'mefarish. The pasuk is explaining, kach amayim rabim, what is the plant that grows by water, umayinifu, what is that tziftzifu? So on the contrary, according to that explanation, tziftzifu would be the arava. Says the Gemara, in Cain, if that's pshat, my samu, what does the Torah use the word samu? Amar Abaye, so what Rava says, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ani amarti she Yisrael lefonik kach alamayim. I said that Klai Yisrael should be compared to the Arava, or my new Arava. They samatzusam, and they treated themselves k'tziftzifah shebaharim. Ikedemasnlo lahaykra masnisa. Others explain it, the Braisa directly. And like Rashi explains, there's no fundamental halachic difference between the two versions other than, according to the first version, there's a Braisa. And then Reb Zeira came to explain the pasuk in relationship to the Braisa. And according to the second version, this is all part of the Braisa. Ika demasna kra masnisa. The pasuk says, kachamayim rabim tziftzifah shema. So here we see that tziftzifah is not a rava, maskula rav zera, v'dilma perushik mefarish. Perhaps the pasuk is explaining what indeed is an arava. Kachamayim rabim, my niu, what is it, tziftzifah? Says the morning came my summer. I'm Rav Avur. I'm Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And near Marty she Yisrael lefonik akach amayim rabim. I said the Klai Yisrael should be like an arava or my new arava. Then some atzok it tziftzifah shebaharim. So there's a lot of homiletical explanations to this Gemara. The Sfasemis al Atayra al Mayadim explains the Gemara this way. He says we know that the Dalim Minim represent different types of Jews. The arava represents the Jew that ain't by Torah, the ain't by Masam Toivim. Doesn't learn, he doesn't do Masam Toivim. So he says, Pshat in the Pasuk like this, Ani Amarti, Arava, you're the Arava. And instead of acting like the Arava, which is the lowest level, what did you do? You went al harm as if you're the important people in Klal Yisrael. Instead of acting, realizing what your real Madreg is. Another Pshat that the Gra explains the Gemara with, this Gemara with, he says, Ani Amarti, I said that the Arava, the people who aren't learned, should go to the Horim. They should go to people who teach them how to act properly. And they don't want to go to those Horim. They don't want to learn from Tamid Chamim Rabbonim. They think they know everything better. Along the same line, Rabbi Shlomo Salanter explains it regarding giving tzedakah. Very important lesson. He says, people think that they can make their own decisions on how to give tzedakah. Actually, they should go to the Horim, they should go to the Rabbonim to teach them what is important and what is not important. Another pshat that I saw, the Ben Yoyod explains the Gemara this way. You know, we always explain Horim meaning the Ovois. Esenai ala Horim, Atikri ala Horim, ala Horim. Horim means our forefathers. I told Klal Yisrael they should go learn Torah. Kachamayim Rabim. They should go learn themselves. And what do they say? We don't have to learn. We can rely on Tzchus Avis. We can rely on the Horim. But that's a wrong approach. The right approach is, even if you have Tzchus Avis, you have to learn yourself. Tan Rabbanan. Eza Arava veEza Tziftzifah. What is an Arava and what is a Tziftzifah? Says the Gemara, an Arava is Kanish L'Odom. Its stem is reddish. Valosh L'Moshuch. And it has elongated leaves. And its edges are smooth. Tziftzifah is kanishal olovin. It has a white, and if you want to see a diagram, 171 on page 57. Tziftzifah kanishal is olovin. It's white. Valoshla ogel. Its leaves are red. Upia doim lamagel. And its edges look like a sickle. Ask the Gemara for Tanya Dumme lamagel kosher. If the edges of the arava look like a sickle kosher, it's only daimel meser if it looks like a sword puzzle. And it says the Gemara, Amar Baya, ki tanyahi bechilfagila. There is a type of arava called chilfagila, the Gemara will discuss it in a moment, that it has red stem, it has a long leaf, but its edges look like a sickle. Now, what is the difference between a sickle and a sword? A saw. So there's Machlokes Rashi and Rambam. Rambam seems to learn it's the size of the grooves, that a sickle has smaller grooves than a saw. Rashi seems to learn that the grooves of the sickle all go in the direction of the handle of the sickle, and by a saw they're more squarish. And the Gemara is saying that Chilfa Gila, this is the way the Mashal explains the Gemara, even though it has edges that look like a sickle, because it has the other two requirements, that it has red stem and has a long leaf, is kosher for a rova, but a tziftzifah will always be possible. The Paiskim discuss, many times you look at the rova, it doesn't have a red stem. And our Gemara is saying that it requires a red stem. So the Paiskim say, sometimes it has a different color stem. There's two ways of answering. That only a white stem is a problem. As long as it's not white, it's acceptable. And furthermore, even if it's green, the reason it's green is because it was cut before it was completely ripened. And had that arava been left on the bush till it was completely ripened, it would have a red stem. But certainly the Mishnah Berurah says that it is a maila to have aravas with red stems. Amar Abaya, Shema Mina, based on what we just learned, Hai Chilfa Gila Kosh Lashana. That you can use the Chilfa Gila for Hashana. Ask the Marpshita, why not? Answer the Gemara, it's not just called a chilf, it's not just called an arova, it's called chilfa gila. So like it should not be kosher. Kamash one, that it may be used. Ask the Gemara, Vayim hachinami, maybe taka indeed, you should not be allowed to use such a chilfa gila for an arova. Says the Gemara, Arve nachal amrachmana mikamakam. Anything that is an arve nachal is kosher for the dalamina. Amrach chizda, hani tlas mini. The next three things we're going to discuss, Ishtani Shemayu Michar Beis HaMikdash. Their names were changed from when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Chilf Michar Beis HaMikdash. Chilfasa Arvasa. Arva Chilfasa. Which means like this. When the Beis HaMikdash was standing, there was something called Arava, and there was something called the Chilfa. Now, it's just the opposite. What's called Arava is the original Chilfa, and what's called the Chilfa is the original Arava. My nafkamina. What's nafkamina? What it's called? Says Gemara, the lulav. When somebody walks into the store and he wants to buy for the dalaminim, so now after the churban, he shouldn't ask for an arava, because if he asks for an arava, he'll get a chilfa. He should ask for a chilfa. The chsam soifer, based on the gross pshat that we learned before, explains michuchor beis amigdash, what the name, the arava, which represents people that don't have Torah, Mas, and Toivim, Chilfasa, when the Beis Hamikdash stood, they were the lowest level. Now they became the leaders of Klal Yisrael. Shifura, Chatzoytstra, Chatzoytstra, Shifura. There's something called a Shofar, which is a curved horn, which we're supposed to use for the Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And then there are the Chatzoytstras, which is the trumpets, the straight, which was used to gather Klal Yisrael together. The Torah speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu tez, Moshe ben Aselucha, Shtei Chatzoytzus Kesef. So in the time till the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there was the Shofar, and there was the Chatzoytzus. Now, says the Gemara, the names got turned around. So if somebody, L'may Nafkimina, what's the Nafkimina? Says the Gemara, the Shofar for Rosh Hashanah. If you want to go to buy a Shofar for Rosh Hashanah, don't ask for a Shofar, ask for Chatzoytzus. Psurta, Psura, Psura, Psurta. What was originally called Psurta, which is a small table, and Psura was a big table, now got turned around. Psura is called a small table, and Psurta is called a big table. Ask the Gemara again, Lamai Nafkamina, says the Gemara Lameka Chememka, that if you go into the store and you asked for a Psura nowadays, so you're supposed to get a small table. And if you ask for a Psurta nowadays, you're supposed to get a big table. Says the Kaps Tamar, that truthfully, the Gemara could sell a Mekach HaMemkar for all the previous things. That if you ask for a Shofar, what he's supposed to get. And you ask for an Arava, what he's supposed to get. And that is applicable to all the previous three examples. Just the Gemara wanted to give other Terutzim if possible. Up to the point, the Kaps Tamar explains the Gemara, the Loch we know in Chai Shemishpat always is, HaMaitz Mechaver Olav Araya. That if you think I owe you something, you have to prove it. Says the Kaps Tamar, let's say you'll come to the store now, and you'll ask for chatzoitris. And I'll give you chatzoitris, I'll give you a trumpet, not a shofar. And then you'll say, no, I learned the Gemara, I came to the Daf Yomi Shir. Chatzoitris means a shofar. So I say, no, I heard the word chatzoitris, I gave you chatzoitris. So maybe I should, hamotz mechaver olav araya, you should have to prove your point. Says the Kappos tomorrow, after we learn our Gemara, this becomes the fact. Chatzoitris a shofar, and shofar chatzoitris. The Aruch Haner explains this Gemara homiletically. He says, when the Beis HaMikdash stood, Klal Yisrael was on top. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, then Klal Yisrael's position of dominance went down, and the Goyim have the position of dominance. So he says, when the Beis HaMikdash stood, the Goyim were the Aravos, and we were the Chilfasa. Now turned around, the Goyim are more important. Similarly, the Shofar represents something that's bent. When the Beis HaMikdash stood, the Goyim were bent to us, and now we're bent to them. And Psyra, which refers to the table, is Parnassah. When the Beis HaMikdash stood, Klal Yisrael was the cause of Parnassah in the world. And now the Goyim have that key. Amar Abaye, Af Ani Omer. I can also say something that changed. Bekasa Havlila, Havlila Bekasa. We just have to give a quick introduction to this Gemara. It's Gemara Masechta Chulin. The Gemara Masechta Chulin says that an animal, kosher animal, has four stomachs. The first stomach is called a keres. The stomach is called bekasi, because it looks like cups. The next stomach is called a hemsis. And the fourth stomach is called a kaver, cover, kuf vezei. Says Rashi in explaining the Gemara. The Gemara Masechta Chulin also tells us that a trefa means that an organ of the animal was damaged. The bekasi, the first stomach, has two layers. So even if a needle penetrated that one layer, it's not a trefa, because the other layer of skin protects it from becoming treif. The hemsis, on the other hand, only has one layer of skin. So if a needle penetrates it, it becomes trefa. So now the Gemara says that those two words were changed. Says the Gemara, Bekasi was originally called Bekasi, is now called Avlila, and what was originally called Avlila is Bekasi. Says the Gemara, L'may Nafkamin, as we explained, the Machra Nimtza Ba'ofa Besakoisis. Originally, if it was found in Besakoisis, it would not be Treif. It was found in Avlila, it would be Treif. Now it's just the opposite. Am Rabbi Yosef, Afani Omer. I'll give you another example of where words were changed. Bavel Bursif, Bursif Bavel. Was originally Bavel is now Bursif, and was originally Bursif is now Bavel. Says the Gemara, L'may Nafkamina, L'gite Noshim. We all remember, at the beginning of Masechta Gittin, the Mishnah says that if somebody brings a get, if a shliach, a messenger brings a get from Medina Sayyam, he has to say, B'fani Nechta, B'fani Nechta. And the Gemara gives two reasons. Mechlokes Rava and Rava. One reason is because since there wasn't that many people traveling in those times, so let's say afterwards the husband is going to say that the get is invalid. So how do we make it kosher? By certifying the Edom. But there's nobody that knows the Edom, and nobody's coming that could certify their signature. So that's why we say to the Shliach, as soon as you come, say B'fani Nechta, B'fani Nechta. Another reason is one of the fundamental halachas in Hilchas Gittin is a get has to be written L'shma for her. So L'shma. Let's say that they don't know that halacha outside of Eretz Yisrael. By the Shliach saying B'fani Nechta, B'fani Nechtam, he's saying that the get was written properly. Says the Gemara Masechta Gittin, if you bring a get from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to say B'fani Nechta, B'fani Nechta. Why? Number one, in Bavel, they were Talmid Chacham, so they knew how to write the Gittin properly. And number two, there were constantly people traveling, because there were yeshiva students, and they were always traveling from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, back and forth, going from one yeshiva to the next. Says the Gemara, originally, if you brought from Bavel, you didn't have to say B'fani Nechta, because of the reasons we just gave. If you brought it from Bursov, you did have to. Now they changed the title, so from Bursov you don't have to say it, and from Bavel you do. From where do you have to say B'fani Nechta, B'fani Nechta, from where you don't? Says the Mishnah. Rav Shmuel Oima, Shloisha Hadasim, you're supposed to use three Hadasim, Shtei Aravos, two Aruavos, Lulav Echad, one Lulav, Vesrik Echad. Afilu Shneim Ketumim, Vecher Enakotim. Says Rav Shmuel, that even if two of the Hadasim have the top cut off and one not, it's fine. And the Gemara will immediately ask, If Rav Shmuel says you have to have three hadassim, so they should all have to be kosher. What's he saying? Two cannot, don't have to be in one is. We'll discuss in the Gemara. Rav Tafnoimer, afilu shloshtim ketumim. Even if all three hadassim are cut at the top, they're still kosher. So, the machlokes Aruch Lener caps tomorrow why Rav Tafnoimer says this. One, the Aruch Lener says, because the hadassim, given the way we describe them, have the leaves growing like in that braided fashion, so you wouldn't be able to tell that the top is cut off, because the leaves cover it up. The Kapis Tamarim explains that Rav Tarfon holds that there is no problem of hador by hadas. It doesn't have to be hador. So even if the top is cut off and it's not beautiful, it doesn't disturb me. Ask the Mefarshim, if so, so why is a hadas hayovish puzzle? If it doesn't have to be hador, it could be yovish. So the answer, a hadas that's yovish, it's not pshat that it's not hador. If it's yovish, it's not a hadas. And that's why a yovish is puzzle and kotem is. It's a very famous Ravid on this. The Rambam paskins like Rav Tarfon. And the Ravid says on this Rambam, kfar hofia ruach bebeis medrasha sharabenu. Ruach HaKodesh from Beis Medrash Rabbeinu. He doesn't know. He says, where did the Rambam take it? He must have had a spirit tell him this. Rav Kiva Omer, Shem Shelulav Echad, just like one lulav is kosher, V'esrog Echad, Kach Hadas Echad V'Ravach, so you only have to take one Hadas and one Arava. Tanya Rav Shmuel Omer, the Pasuk says, Priyetz Hadar, describing the Esrog, Echad. You only have to take one Esrog. Karpas Tamarim, Echad. You only have to take one lulav. Anaf, Eitz Avos. You have to take enough Eitz Avos. So it's three words. Shloisha. Arve Nachal. The Torah says you take Arve Nachal, plural. The minimum of a plural is two. Shtayim.
I mean, was Arve Nachal something else in the
previous draft? So we're going now, according to Rabbanan, that used it to teach a Shtayim. We're going to have to say that they're not going to agree with those Limudim. Tosfos points that out on Amun Aleph. Ask Tosfos a different question. How do we know that enough eitz avos, you need to have three hadassim, because the Torah uses three words, enough eitz avos. Asks Tosfos, so she would have to take three esrogim, because how is the esrog described? Pre-eitz hadar. So why do we say enough eitz avos means three hadassim, we should also have to take three esrogim? So Tosfos says that the word eitz by esrog is used to teach us something else. So the Rishash asks on Tosfos, the word anaf eitz avos is also used for something else. So we still use it to teach us three. So the Rishash answers, the truth is like this. In hadas is a piece of wood. So the word eitz, anaf eitz avos, is appropriate. So when the Torah uses the word anaf eitz avos, we're saying it comes to teach how many hadasim we should use. But the word eitz by esrog is totally inappropriate, because esrog is not a piece of wood, esrog is a peri. It should say pre-hador. What did it say? Pre-eitz hador? So eitz is not coming to teach us how many esrogim to use.
You still have two words,
pre-hador. Okay, but once we're not using the eitz, so then we already say pre-hador. The Rishash says that. As the Tosfos says, interesting Tosfos, the next Tosfos the very masculine, Arve Nachal, that al-Pidin, even though the Gemara just says, use one esrog, one lulav, three hadassim and two aravas, you could take more if you want. And it's not called Baal Tosfos. However, in the Shulchan Aruch it says like this. You're supposed to take only one esrog. You're supposed to take only one lulav. You're supposed to only take two aravas. Hadassim, you could take more. And in fact, the arm and hagim, most people don't take more than three hadassim, as our Gemara tells us, but the worm and hagim that took more. I saw one minig that they used to take 68 hadassim. The Gemakli Yalulav. I saw another minig that they took 70 hadassim because we know that in Sukkot they brought 70 kabonis, 70 animals for the Shiva and Priyachag. And many Chassidish people have a minig by Rebbes that they take 9 hadassim. Although I saw that there's a very non-Chassidish pshat to why they do it. The Avnei Tzedek, who was a Rebbe, the Sigatir Rebbe, explains it this way. He says, hadassim, like nowadays, was sold in bundles of three. Now, when you bought a bundle of three hadassim, based on the Gemara we just learned yesterday, it's very hard to examine if the hadassim is really kosher. So what they used to do is buy three bundles of three, put them all into the lulav, and hoping that if I have 9 hadassim, 3 bundles of 3, I'll have at least 3 kosher hadassim. So I saw in the Masorah magazine, the OU's Masorah magazine, why are the hadassim different? That the Shulchan Aruch and the Minig is that people aren't so makbid that you take more than 3 hadassim, many people. And by the lulav, you never heard anybody should take more than 1 lulav. If Taisif says there's no problem about Taisif, so there's no problem about Taisif. Why do we treat the hadassim different than we treat the other three minim? So explanation is very beautiful. Anaf eitz, how do we know that you're allowed to take 3 hadassim? Because the Gemara just said, anaf eitz avos, so it's 3 words, 3 hadassim. So that's not an explanation of the hadass. It's just a drasha. So that's why we don't have to be makbid on the 3. On the other hand, kapas tamarim, the Torah speaks about 1 lulav. Here the Torah specifically in describing the lulav says take 1. So that's why we're more makbid by the other minim not to take more than what the Torah told us versus the hadass. Retarfenheimer, shloisha, you have to take 3. However, feel shlosh and ketumi, even if they all have the tops cut off as we described. Rekivaimer, shem shlulav echod, vesrig echod, just like you take 1 lulav, 1 esrig, kachadas echod, take only 1 hadas, varov echod, and only 1 arova. Omle rebelezer, yochliye esrigimon. So there's 2 ways of understanding rebelezer. According to Yehuda, that we explained in yesterday's shir that you have to do eged, that you have to tie the lulav and adasim aravis. One would think that you have to tie, according to him, the esrig with it. Or, according to Rabbanan, that we're not required midaraisa to tie it together. But, midrabbanan, we do it because of zekeli and veyu. I would think that you could tie the esrig together with the other minim, but good achas. When the Torah speaks about the esrig and then the lulav, the Torah doesn't say v'kapas tamarim, a vav, connecting them. The Torah says kapos, without the vav, to separate that the lulav and the esrig should not be tied together. And that's why the Shaar Tzion says, not only don't you have to tie the esrig with the lulav, you shouldn't tie the esrig with the lulav. How do we know that all 4 minim have to be brought together? You have to take all 4 minim. So the machloikis rishonim, what does lekicha tama mean? Rabbeinu Tam says that even though we pass on like Rabbanon, that you don't have to tie the 3 minim and the esrik together, you have to take all 4 minim at the same time. That's how Rabbeinu Tam learns. The Bahag says, you don't have to take all 4 minim at the same time. But you have to have all 4 minim in front of you. So if a person wants, he could have his esrig, lulav, hadassim, and aravis, pick up 1 at a time, and he's mekayim the mitzvah. But they all have to be in front of him. The Ramban is even more makel. The Ramban says that you could take your esrig now, you don't have lulav, hadassim, and aravis at all in front of you. But you know that in the course of the day, you're going to have. Then you could take the esrog now, and you'll get the lulav later, take the lulav, you'll take the adasim later, take the adasim, then take the aravos. However, on the Ramban, the Rama says that when somebody, even if somebody's not taking all 4 minim together, like we do, at the same time, you're not allowed to be mafsik. You're not allowed to speak out between taking the 4 minim. So says the Rama, if you're going to do that, you're not going to be able to talk all day because you're not allowed to speak between the minim. Says the Magen Avraham and the Taz, a very interesting halacha. Magen Avraham and Taz say, let's say somebody took, is following the Ramban. He takes the esrig 9 o'clock in the morning. And then he's taking the lulav at 10 o'clock in the morning. And he did interrupt. He did speak or did some between taking the esrig and the lulav. So normally when we take the dalam minim, what bracha do you take? You make an alatilas lulav. In our case, I'll say the story differently. He took a lulav at 9 a.m. Now at 10 a.m., 9:30 he talked, and 10 he takes the esrig. So he shouldn't say alatilas lulav. He's not taking a lulav now. He's taking an esrig now. So even though normally the bracha is alatilas lulav, here will be a situation where we'll make a bracha alatilas esrig. That's what the Magen Avraham and Taz say. The Mishnah Berurah disagrees. The Mishnah Berurah says that even in such a situation where the person took the lulav at 9 a.m., then he spoke out between 9 and 10. At 10 o'clock he takes the esrig, he still makes alantilas lulav. Because since the mitzvah became invalidated by his speaking out between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. So therefore, he's really doing the mitzvah of lulav, and he should make the bracha of Antilas lulav. The lemafreya, the lulav only becomes effective now when I take the esrog, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, Antilas lulav. I don't really recommend anybody doing it this way anyway. It's also fine, but you only have to take one hadas anyway, apidin. You yoytz the mitzvah. Now, there's a very beautiful vart on this Gemara, a drush vart from the Pninim Yukarim. The Gemara says in Masechta the Brachas, Haroya Esrig b'chaloyim. If somebody sees an Esrig in a dream, it's probably not this time of the year because everybody's dreaming of a Esrigim. But let's say you see an Esrig during the year in your dream, Hodahu lefnei kainai. It's a simen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. Shenemar, pri eitz hadar, kapos tamarim. So the Torah calls you a hadar. Ask the Pninim Yekarim, he doesn't understand the Gemara. What the Gemara should have said is, Haroi esrig b'chaloyim, hadahu lefnei kainai, shenemar pri eitz hadar. Why does the Gemara add the words, kapos tamarim? We're not talking about a lulav, we're talking about an esrig. So the Pninim Yekarim says like this. It says there are two ways a person can be considered a special person. One is because he's truly special. And another way is because if you compare him to everyone else, he's special. He says, what makes the Esrig special? What does the Esrig represent, as we said earlier? The Esrig represents somebody to Yesh by Torah, for Yesh by Masm Tovim. He has Alamailus, like they say. He's perfect. So he's not special because we compare him to somebody else. He's truly special. Haroya Esrig b'chaloyim, if somebody sees an Esrig in his dream, hadu lefnei kainoi. He's truly special. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, pre-eitz hadar, without the vav next to kapos tamarim. Why is the Esrig kept separate from the lulav? Because it was showing that the Esrig, the person who has Torah masim tovim, is independently special. Not only because you put him next to the lulav, hadasim, and aravais. So that's why the Gemara preaches down the Pasuk, kapos tamarim, without the vav. To show him that this guy, this person, is truly independently special. Really special. Says the Gemara. Reshmo, ask the Gemara, as we mentioned in the Mishnah, question of Reshmo. Manashach. Ish lemon boy, if you need that the adasim should be shalom, the boy nami kula, so that all three should be shalom. Eloi boy shalom, if on the other hand, safil chad nami, even one not. Omer bero, omer amni, chosber Reshmo. So the way Rashi explains is Rabbi Shmuel ultimately held that you don't need three Arav Hadassim, you only need one, and that one Hadass should be done right. So why does he bring the other two? So Rashi explains, LeMitzvah, he only brought two, he brings the other two, so he should have three Hadassim, but they're not really required, and therefore they could be Katam. Others say that Rabbi Shmuel was, the Ritva explains the Mishnah, that Rabbi Shmuel was Chayzer all the way. You only need to bring one, not Katam. Amar Yudam Shmuel, Halach Kriptarfin. The Halach is like Kriptarfin, that you need to bring three, but they could be cut. Says the Gemara of Azda Shmuel Tamei. Shmuel goes according to his own Shitta. Domo Shmuel Ahalin de Masbi Asa. Shmuel would tell the people who sold Hadassim, Ashvu Vizbinu, be careful to sell the Hadassim at a fair price. Because Viloi, if you won't, the Rishon Lechukirab Karfin, I'll say, that Riptarfin, the Halachas like Riptarfin, and you could even use Hadassim that cut on the top. Says the Gemara, my Tama, what was Shmuel's intent in making this statement? Ilema, Mishunda Mekel, that he's being Mekel, and he's saying to the people that I'm going to let you use any type of Hadassim. Velidosh Kirbekivel, the Mekel Tvei. If that's the threat, he should have made a bigger threat. Why does he say that I'm going to pass him like Reb Tarfin, who says you have to bring three Hadassim? He could have said I'm going to pass him like Reb Akiva, that says you only need to have one Hadass. Answers the Gemara, saying that I'm going to pass him like Reb Tarfin is a bigger kula than saying that I'm going to pass him like Reb Akiva. Because although Reb Akiva only requires one Hadass, that one Hadass has to be a good one. Reb Tarfin requires three Hadassim, but they don't have to be any real high quality. It's easier to find many cut hadassim chopped off at the top than to find one good one. Ketumis shchicha, finding ones that are cut were very common. Chad v'loy cut, and finding one that's not cut on the top, v'loy shchiach. So when he wanted to threaten them, saying that I'm going to paskin like Reb Tarfin is much more of a potent threat than saying that I'm going to paskin like Reb Akiva. says the Mishnah, Esrug HaGozel, a stolen Esrug, Vayovish, an Esrug that's dried up, Posel. Shel Sheirav, Shel Endachas, Posel. Shel Orla, an Esrug that's Orla, we know that anything that grows for the first 3 years, a tree that grows fruit for the first 3 years, is Posel. Shel Truma Temeya, Truma Temeya is not allowed to be eaten by even Kohanim, it's Posel. The Gemara will explain in the next year why. Shel Truma Tahira, which may be eaten by Kahanim, Shatrum Tahir, La Yito, Lechatchili Shun Yuz, Venotl Kosher. But the evidence, alright. Shal Demai. Demai, the halach is that if you buy produce from an Amoritz, we have to be concerned that they didn't take off Trumas and Maestris. So Chazal said we have to take off our own Trumas and Maestris. So Shal Demai, Beshamai Paislim, Beshamai say you should not use such an asterisk, Besil Machshim say you may. Shal Maestris Shenib Yushalayim, we know that in the first and second and fourth and fifth years of the 7 year Shemitah cycle, they had to take Maaseh Sheni and take it up to Yerushalayim. So Maaseh Sheni Yerushalayim, lo yita, l'chatchila you should not use, v'mnotel kosher. But if you used it, it's kosher. So the Machloikis, Rashi and Ran, had to explain this Mishnah. Rashi says that only in Yerushalayim made a Maaseh Sheni Esrug possibly be used, because Allah is the Maaseh Sheni has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. But Chutz L'Yerushalayim, we are not allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni. Maaseh Sheni Esrig is not even kosher b'diavad. The Ran learns just the opposite. He says the discussion in our Mishnah is strictly in Yerushalayim. But outside of Yerushalayim, where the halach is, you're allowed to be poida, you're allowed to redeem Maaseh Sheni. Certainly you're allowed to, under all circumstances, use a Maaseh Sheni Esrig. Now the Mishnah begins to discuss the actual Esrig. Also Chazazos Arubai. I guess the best definition of a Chazazos is a boil. Some sort of a boil developed on the Esrig, on most of the Esrig. So we're going to learn it's possible. So there's a very interesting Rashi that the Magen Avraham brings down from the Mabit. Chazazos, says Rashi, K'min ababuas takos, like small boils. Says the Magen Avraham, the name of the Mabit, Rashi uses a Lashon Rabbim, Kimin Ababuois. So he says that there's only a problem with a Chazazos on an Esrig, is if you have more than one Chazazos. But let's say you have an Esrig with only one Chazazos, that's not considered a problem, a very big kula. Also, it's hard to talk about an Esrig without showing you a Esrigim, but there's also what's known as a blat fleck, or bletel. The difference, a chazazis is a boil. It's on top of the esrig. That is posel. A blat fleck is not really part, is not something that grew out of the esrig. It's just something that, if there was a leaf, while the sun was shining on it, it could sometimes get embedded. And a bletel, the Rishonim already discussed it, is kosher. We'll discuss tomorrow what about on the pitim, on the chaitim. Nitlepet masai. If the pitim on top of the esrig was removed, that we see the pitim, if somebody needs a diagram, 172. Nitl pit masoi, niklaf. If the esrig really has four compartments. It has the outside, very thin layer, which is yellow or greenish yellow. Then it has a white layer under it. Then it has another fruity layer under it. And then the fourth, deepest layer is where the seeds are. Niklaf, if the outside layer was peeled off. Nizdak is if it was, has a split, which we see in diagram 173. V'chaser, if it's missing part of it, v'chaser koshu, posel. Also, chazazos amyutai, if there's only a chazazos on small part of the esrig, which we see in diagram 174. Also, chazazos amyutai, nitl uktsai. Uktsai is the other side, that's the bottom part of the esrig. Nikev, if the esrig has a hole penetrating on it, but it's not missing, not one drop of esrig is missing, kosher. Esrig hakushi is a black esrig. Others say that it grows in Africa, posel. Vayor kikarsi, a green like a leek, remeya machsha, Rabbi Huda posel. Now when we speak about a green esrig, there are 2 points. One point is that it has to be kikarsi. It has to be very deep shade of green. Another thing is, what is the psul on green? One, some say is because it's not Hadar, and others say that the problem with a green esrig is because it's not going to ever ripen. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is most green esrogim, if you leave them out long enough or you treat them, will become yellow. So if the problem with the green esrog is because a green esrog is not hadar, so it doesn't make a difference that it will ultimately become yellow. But if the problem with the esrog is that it's not right, if this will ultimately become yellow, then it's kosher. We paskin that a green esrog that will become yellow is kosher. We also paskin that if you have a green esrog, but it has to be very deep green to be possible, and also if it has streaks of yellow, it's already fine. It doesn't have to be completely yellow. Shear esrog cotton, what's the minimum size of an esrog? Remei ka ego is the size of a walnut. Rabbi Yehuda Mekabei, the size of an egg. Obegodl, what's the maximum size of an esrog? Kedei shiach ha-shnayim biyodah de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you should be able to hold two esrogim in your hand. What's the basis for Rabbi Yehuda's shita? Because the halach is you're supposed to hold the dalaminim in your right hand. What happens if you accidentally pick them up in your left hand? So we want you to be able to switch hands. If it's too big, you wouldn't be able to do it. You could take such a large esrig that you need two hands to hold one esrig, and it's still a kosher esrig. Because it's not hadar.